James chapter 3, and I want to be looking at verses 13 through 18 as we read this morning. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and self ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's open in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning asking, Lord, that you would open up our hearts through the work of the Spirit, that the word would penetrate deep within us. Lord, that we would analyze where we are. Father, that if there's someone here who doesn't know you, that the first step of real true wisdom is to come to know you in saving faith. And so, Lord, we ask your Spirit to work this morning through the word. May you be honored and glorified by our response to the word. In Jesus' name, amen. James, if you look at the first verse there in verse 13, he starts out with a question, this whole section, really an important question, a question that he intended for every single person who ever read his book to sit back and ask themselves that question. Who among us is wise? Who among us has understanding, as you see there in verse 13? And of course, wisdom and understanding, they go hand in hand throughout the scriptures, especially as you look at, you know, the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, has wisdom and understanding connected 15 times throughout its pages. Sometimes it's used interchangeably. More than that, actually, it is used interchangeably. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So when he says here in verse 13, who is a wise and understanding person, he's asking who is a mature person? Who's one who lives out the wisdom of God in the way that they live? You could put it this way. Who really gets it? Who understands this world, and the way that we live in this world from God's perspective? Who is wise and understanding? Who lives in a way that God would have us live? Because a wise and an understanding person knows the will of the Lord and does the will of the Lord. So, who is wise and understanding among us? His body. That's the question we are intended to be asking when we read these verses. And so I ask you this morning, are you wise? Are you a wise person? Not a wise guy or a wise crack. But are you truly wise? And the rest of the passage after that question in verse 13 is really intended for us to be able to analyze our own hearts and say whether or not we could answer in the affirmative. Yes, I am a wise person. The verses from really the end of verse 13 all the way down to verse 18, they provide us a way to check our own hearts and see if we have the marks of what would be true wisdom, or really to check our hearts and say, you know, I have some areas to work on to live in such a way that would be considered wise. So are you wise this morning? And to help us answer that question and work through the verses in this passage, I want to ask us five other questions from these verses to help us see and analyze how we can answer that one question, am I a wise person? Am I wise? We want to diagnose whether or not we are wise this morning. So we're just going to work through those five questions. They're coming from the text in front of us. And the first question to help us answer that question, am I wise, is this. Am I focused on who I am rather than what I do? That sounds like an interesting question, maybe, especially in light of what you just read in verse 13. Look at the verse. Who is wise and understanding among you? Now notice what he says. By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. I mean, isn't James talking about, in that verse, what we do? So, Pastor Dave, why are you asking us to ask the question, who am I, versus what I do? But look at the language in that verse. It's very interesting. It's interesting what he says. He doesn't simply say, let them show by their works in that passage. Look at the way he words it. Verse 13, by his good conduct. Now, what's interesting is that word conduct. That word conduct actually means manner of life. It's a word that describes, many times you see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you know, your life is described as a walking, right? And as you're walking, you are living. And the idea here in the manner of life in verse 13, and really I would, this is where I would translate it, that word by really has the idea of from. The source of your good works is... The source of your good works is your manner of life, who you are. And so the way that James words this in verse 13, he's actually looking and saying, listen, let him show his works that come from who that person is. So the focus isn't so much really on the works, which we can all do, and all fake, as we'll see, and even the way he words it, you'll see how he gets around that and gets right to the heart. The focus is on our manner of life. What is your manner of life? Who are you? What is your character? He's really saying that works flow out of who you are. They're a product of who you are. They come from who you are. True works that represent the type of works he's talking about here, show his good works, are works that represent a heart and a life of character. And that's exactly what Jesus said, right? Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 18. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. And there's nothing more frustrating, right, than biting into an apple that's rotten because of a bad tree. And he says a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. So let me just ask you this very basic question about your level of wisdom this morning. How much time do you spend thinking about who you are and the character that you have versus the things that you do? A wise person, according to James, focuses on their manner of life, their character. So as they walk through life, here's why this is important. As you walk through life, life will give you, through the Lord's sovereign plan, opportunities for good works, opportunities to do the things God's called you to do, and because of who you are, you respond and do what you should. That is a wise person. I mean, verse 13... Doesn't that sound a lot like, go back to chapter 2, verses 14 through 26? I mean, just look at verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works, right? The genuineness of a life of faith is illustrated by works. And so here, along the same type of analogy in verse 13 of James chapter 3, he's saying, if you are one who's wise, the demonstration of that is your works. The product of that will be the works that you have. A wise person focuses on their character. You don't show your wisdom by becoming a sage, according to James, and wearing some weird outfit and finding some hill and waiting for people to come and learn from you. That's not true wisdom. According to James, a wise person is not a person in the room who knows it all. A wise person is one that has a life that flows from who they are. They have works that come from their manner of life. Look at Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. Again, when you read James, just realize that he is dripping and dripping with the words of Christ. For no good fruit, it sounds very much like we read in Matthew, no good fruit bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes and grapes from a bramble bush. The good person out of his good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. A wise person focuses on their heart. The former president of the college I went to, which no longer exists, Dr. Olola used to say that, he would tell us, picture yourself as a cup, if you can do that. And whatever you are filled with, when you get bumped, is what's going to come out. And if you're filled with the things of the Lord and you're filled with the things that God has called you to, when, as you go along life and you get bumped and the opportunities come, what comes out of you is what's already inside of you. Your heart reveals who you really are. And it's very easy, I think, even the first time I read through this passage, to think that this passage is so focused on works. You see that in verse 13. But notice he's constantly going into character and who we are. Look at verse 14. But if you have jealousy, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, where? In your hearts, in your who you really are. Look at verse 17. Look at the character there. The character emphasis of verse 17, or you might even say the fruit of the Spirit. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So he's really focused on who we are as a person. So true wisdom is seen in a disposition, a way of life that shows or reveals a heart disposition that responds to outside influences and opportunities. And it's just a healthy reminder to be reminded that whatever happens outside of us doesn't make us do anything, right? It helps us understand who we actually are. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, page 811. Matthew chapter 6, and verse 19. Just notice the interplay between who you are and what you do. I could preach another whole message on these verses, which I will not do, but I just want to bring out two very important points for us to remember as we think about who we are and what we do. Look at verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Notice, here's his conclusion, verse 21, for where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you, how great is the darkness? No one, notice this, verse 24, can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And I just want to bring out very quickly the two principles you see on the screen. What Jesus is teaching here, first, is what you treasure controls your heart. That's verse 21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you value, what you put value in, your heart is there. I mean, you could apply this in a bazillion different directions, right? If I value my reputation, I'm never going to show you anything I do wrong, am I? I'll lie about it so you don't see it. Because I value that, that's where my heart is. And of course, verse 24, you see this. So what you treasure then, your heart serves. What you treasure, your heart serves. If you love God, and he uses the illustration of God and money, and I think that that's very valid because we understand each of that, the struggle and the pull that we have. I mean, how many of you are just so comfortable with your income and you're just like, man, I could not use another penny and I'd just be the happiest person alive. We know that it's so valuable to us. And so, listen, what you treasure in your heart, you also serve. That's why it's from your manner of life, your conduct that the good works flow, because where you're oriented produces what you do. So are you wise this morning? Well, answer that question. Am I focused on who I am rather than on what I do? Go back to James chapter 3. Second question that we're going to ask this morning to help us diagnose our hearts and see if we're wise comes from verses 14 and 15. Is my heart characterized by false wisdom? Is my heart characterized by false wisdom? To help us understand true wisdom, James now is going to show and take a look at false wisdom, wisdom that pretends to be wise. And you see that specifically in the description in verse number 15. Look at the description he gives of this false wisdom in verse 15. When he says this in verse 15, he's pointing back to verse 14. This type of characteristic is not the wisdom that comes from above. Notice his description. It is earthly wisdom, that which is opposed to the wisdom from above, that which is not sourced in God's wisdom, wisdom from this world and the world system. Sometimes things that make completely sense here, but no sense there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19, the wisdom of this world is folly with God. It's earthly wisdom. Secondly, he describes it as unspiritual that you see there in verse 15. It's kind of a unique word, and it carries the idea of that which is fleshly, wisdom that is not produced by the Spirit. It's the same word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, to describe the natural man versus the spiritual. The natural man in his state apart from God, that's the wisdom he's talking about in verse 14. And then lastly, he describes it as demonic, because you know James, he doesn't pull punches, right? Wisdom that is not only not godly, but very much opposed to God and his ways. Wisdom that is evil and opposed to God spiritually. Now, it might, for us, seem like quite a leap to go from earthly wisdom to demonic wisdom. But always remember, any wisdom that is not sourced in God's wisdom is sourced somewhere else. So you have here demonic wisdom. Again, interestingly, notice chapter 2, verse 19, paralleling what he just said about faith, right? Demonic faith. What's that? Faith that can acknowledge the orthodox statement, yet has no works to produce and to show that they truly believe what they say they believe. So what about this false wisdom, this demonic wisdom? What are the characteristics? That's what you have in verse 14. Look at the characteristics of false wisdom. It's very simple. Two things. Jealousy or envy. It says in the ESV, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. And the emphasis of false wisdom is on oneself. The focus of false wisdom is on oneself. False wisdom is a selfish wisdom. Wisdom that is focused solely on my needs and solely focused on my wants or desires. So, here it is. We have envy and jealousy in our hearts when we have this wisdom. When others have what I think I deserve or ought to have, what do? We get jealous, envious. We lust after it. This wisdom, verse 14, is characterized by selfish ambition. It seeks self more than others. It's looking to constantly lift oneself up, promoting my wants, my desires over every other person, advancing the big me, myself, and I. That is false wisdom. Really, if you just want to put what James is saying here, false wisdom is proud. It's proud. Now, look back at verse 14. It's kind of ironic what he says here. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, now notice what he says. If your heart is self-centered, self-focused, then he says this, verse 14, do not boast. You should not boast and be false to the truth. What is he saying there? What does false wisdom look like? Well, I think the idea is that the person with this type of wisdom in their heart might actually be boasting about their own wisdom. They're actually boasting about their own wisdom, which, of course, would naturally fit someone who's caught up in selfish ambition, right? They're boasting about their own wisdom. They're tooting their own horn about being wise, yet in their heart, they are full of envy and selfish ambition. Now, realistically, not too many people will tell you how wise they are. I have met some. They won't use those words. They just hint. Somehow, some way. And you always go like, did I just hear that? No. And then 2 minutes later, I did hear that. But most people, right, we don't brag about our wisdom. How do we boast about our wisdom? And I think what James is getting at here is most of us brag about our wisdom by the show that we put on. We've got a front that people see that looks like wisdom. But this outward act betrays the reality. It betrays the real truth. And that's what he's getting at in verse 14. Don't boast if you have jealousy and selfish ambition. Don't think you're wise if you have this in your heart. Because when you are boasting, like, you know, man, I'm pretty spiritual, I'm pretty wise here, and you act in such a way that is opposite what's really going on in your heart, what you are actually fundamentally doing is lying against what is real, what is true. That's what James is saying. That's why he says in verse 14, do not be false to the truth. They're being far from what wisdom actually produces. Look at verse 13. What does wisdom produce? Not only a conduct, a manner of life, and good works, but look at the end of verse 13. When it says, in the meekness of wisdom, that phrase means in the meekness that wisdom produces. Wisdom produces meekness in our hearts. Humility. Sometimes that word is translated in our hearts, which is far from selfish ambition in verse 14 and jealousy, isn't it? So when we put on a show that we're wise in the way that we live, when we're harboring selfish ambition and jealousy in our own hearts, James is saying we're nothing more than a liar, masking a rating, I don't know how to say that, putting on a mask for everyone else to see. Masquerading. There it is. Got it. That's why I stick to notes. This is not true wisdom. This is false wisdom. So are you wise this morning? Well, am I focused on who I am rather than what I do? Secondly, is my heart characterized by false wisdom? Thirdly, this morning, third question to ask, do my relationships reflect the fruit of false wisdom? Do my relationships reflect the fruit of false wisdom? That's verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition, same two words he used in verse 14, where those exist, there will be disorder in every vile or evil practice. What is true in one's heart will come out, right? Just like that cup illustration. Eventually, it's going to come out. You push it enough, what's really in there will spill out. And it especially gets revealed, I think, in one's relationship with others. Because God, in his sovereign plan, has orchestrated others in our lives to help us see who we are. You may boast of your godliness, your wisdom, put on a show around you by your religious activity, but the truth comes out in our relationships. Those whom you work with, those you go to church with, those that sleep next to you at night, or should. If you have false wisdom, your relationships, look at verse 16, will be characterized by disorder, chaos. The opposite, the complete opposite of peace, strife, anxiousness, nervousness. You ever had those types of relationships? Disorder. There'll be fighting and slandering and backbiting. It will be what Paul, I've termed Paul's explanation of Christian cannibalism, where we bite in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, where we bite and devour one another, the complete opposite of peace. Your relationships will be characterized by this. There will be no genuineness there. There can't be. Rather, not only is there disorder, but look at the end of verse 16, every vile practice. Because someone with false wisdom is driven by selfish ambition, watch out, because any way and any means possible, they will get what they want. And that will include every vile practice. It's saddening but true that my wife and I go, nothing shocks us anymore. Because when that exists in our heart, we want that more than what God wants, and everyone else is in our way. Again, we look at James and we think, every vile practice, James, that's crazy. But no, when you live for self, when I start living for self, don't be shocked at what comes out. When you live for selfish ambition, don't be shocked that it might result in disorder in every vile practice. No evil practice is off limits until I get what I want. Both your relationships and your practice will reveal your wisdom. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, right? By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not from God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. It is revealed, notice, both in practice, every vile practice, and disorder relationships. Those that do not love God do not practice righteousness, practice, and relationships. They don't love brothers or sisters in Christ. Eventually, our heart attitudes will come out and reveal who we really are. Man, I'm struggling. Sorry. I think that's really interesting in verse 16, how James connects our hearts with our relationships with others. Because remember, the jealousy and selfish ambition, where is that in verse 14? It's inside, right? And the disorder and the practice happens outside of that. John says something really interesting. This is a verse, some of you have heard me say this, but I think it's really important to bring out. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 says something very insightful, almost shocking when you look at what he's saying. It's very similar to what James is saying. If we say we have fellowship with him, somebody who says, I have fellowship with God, right? You could even say, if we say, comma, quotes, I have fellowship with God, end quote. Well, we walk in darkness. So notice there's a disconnect between what comes out of the mouth and what's actually going on, right? Someone who says they're wise and yet inside has every vile and whatever practice, so or selfish ambition, etc. So here you have someone saying, I walk with God, yet they are practicing darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. In case you didn't understand what lying was, it's not practicing the truth. You are actually going the complete opposite of what you're saying, right? Then notice what he says in the next verse. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. So in other words, if what you are saying, or maybe better, portraying to those around you, you're actually in the light in your walk, so that who you are in private is who you are in public, that what you say to someone to their face is what you say behind their face, that's being in the light, right? If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, notice this in verse 7, it doesn't say, we love God. Isn't that interesting? What's the first evidence of that? We have fellowship with God's people. We don't try to hide from God's people. I'm in the light. What do I get to hide? Who you are to their face is who you are behind their face. I guess behind them. Right? There's no hiddenness there. There's a genuineness there. And if that's not motive enough, the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. James is giving us a real picture of confession and repentance, because he's going to go talk about confession very quickly, right? I said James, John. There's a connection between walking in the light and the fellowship we have with one another. Back to James 3. Fourth question. Is my heart now characterized by true wisdom? So verses 14 through 16, it was all about false wisdom. But now, verse 17, he gets into true wisdom. And again, he talks about the characteristics now of true wisdom. He's talked about the characteristics of false wisdom, verse 14, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, which, by the way, if you've read through the book of James, it was going on at all sorts of levels. There was bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. On the one side, you probably had the rich who were driven by selfish ambition, not taking care of the poor, because we're going to get into that very quickly in chapter 5. We've done that in chapter 2. And then you have those that are driven by jealousy and are fighting against the rich because they're poor. So that's the characteristics of this false wisdom. But true wisdom, verse 17, is my heart characterized by true wisdom? Notice the characteristics. We're just going to fly through them really quickly. First one is pure. True wisdom is first pure. It's holy. A wise person is one who seeks to live a holy life. That's obviously the complete opposite of every vile practice, is it not? All that characterizes false wisdom, it's purity in thought. And indeed, if you're truly wise this morning, then you're moving towards holiness. Secondly, it's peaceable. Wisdom from above, the wisdom of God, is first pure, then peaceable. True wisdom seeks peace. Now, it's not that true wisdom seeks tranquility. Get me in a place that's quiet with no other person so I can do my yoga and meditate. I am a wise person. No. What it means there by peaceable is that a truly wise person seeks peace in the midst of conflict. Or to put it in Jesus' terms, a peacemaker. One who makes peace. One who strives for peace. Thirdly, you see there in verse 17, it is gentle, or sometimes this word is translated considerate. A wise person is considerate of other people. Very, very simple. They consider other people, and they're willing to yield to others and consider those people in their scenario and their situation. That's a wise person. A wisdom from above, fourthly, is open to reason. It's a willingness to hear each other out. Man, if there was a characteristic that we could use on social media today, it would be that. Seem a little frustrated? And I'm like off it. You know, I like avoid most of it. And the little I get, I don't know how all you just like go on Facebook all the time and live a life that's got any peace whatsoever. Get my point yet? True wisdom, no, listen, true wisdom is open to reason. It's considering what others are saying, even in regards to things that you might disagree with that aren't orthodox. It's not a, you know, oh, let's consider every viewpoint of theology. It's not what it's saying, but rather things that ought to be considered, you should consider. You're open to reason. James put it this way in verse 19 of chapter 1. Slow to speak, swift to hear, right? Fifthly, look at verse 17. A true wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Both mercy and doing good things is the stance that a wise person has towards others. Mercy. I mean, that's a constant thing that we, can I just get, that is something that I struggle with. For my first thought not to be, well, that person, I just, but my first thought to be, so that person sinned against me. Shocker! Because I know my own heart. It's just full of mercy. It's full of good fruit. It's serving and helping others. Sixthly, it is impartial. It is impartial. Goes exactly with what he addressed not too long ago in chapter 2, right? You remember that, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and the partiality being shown? A wise person does not place a value judgment on others based on what they see. Rather, the value judgment has been placed there by God because they're made in the image and likeness of God. And then seventhly, you see there in verse 17, sincere. What you see is what you get. Sincere, such a good word. No hypocrisy. They're consistent no matter who they are around. They don't act one way in front of you and then differently when you're gone, right? And we pastors have the joy of helping you with that. How do you quiet a room? Let a pastor in, right? You joke, but I'm telling you, the power I have just by being with the title pastor. You know, it's funny when people, especially, you know, people in the world, whether it be through people I know through soccer or other things like that, you know, everything changes when I get around. But this person, true wisdom, is sincere. There's no show to put on. Those are the characteristics that resemble true wisdom. And as I went through these characteristics of verse 17, I could not help but think of something our Lord had said. Matthew chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Blessed are the meek. Same basic idea as gentle, by the way. For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Do you think you know where James got this? true wisdom. Or maybe you went through it and you couldn't help but think of what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You could really say that the wisdom, although James never talks about the Spirit in this passage, is a direct result of the Spirit. True wisdom. So are you wise this morning? Who's wise among us? Well, answer these questions. Am I focused on who I am rather than what I do? Is my heart characterized by false wisdom? Do my relationships reflect the fruit of false wisdom? Is my heart characterized by true wisdom? And fifthly, the last question in verse number 18, we'll fly through this. Do my relationships with others reflect the fruit of true wisdom? Verse 18, in a harvest of righteousness, and you may have different translations. You'll notice that they struggle to try to grasp everything going on here. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace among those who make peace. Just like false wisdom rears its ugly head in how it handles others, so true wisdom, you don't want to say rears its great head, that sounds weird, but that's the idea. It shows itself in its relationships with those who are around them. In the case of false wisdom, it was disorder in every vile practice. But in the case of true wisdom, verse 18, it's a complete opposite of false wisdom. There's really two characteristics that come out in verse 18. What are they? Righteousness and what? Peace. False wisdom produces every vile practice, but true wisdom results in true righteous living. Righteousness will be held. It's a harvest. I mean, this type of person with true wisdom produces a harvest of righteousness in their living. They'll reap a harvest through their wisdom. Their life will be characterized by righteousness. True faith produces true works, right? So true wisdom produces true righteousness in how you live. It shows itself in its righteousness. And then secondly, I mean, it's a very interesting way he words it, but he's really emphasizing in verse 18 that those who are truly wise will live in a sphere characterized by peace. The complete opposite of disorder. True wisdom is seen in your relationship with others, those who truly seek to make peace with others around you. You seek it. Now, just a reminder for some of you that have sought peace with those who don't want to make peace with you. Remember what Paul told us in Romans. If possible, as much as within you, be at peace with all people. And there's like a little indication in there that with as much as you've done and all that you've done within you, someone still won't have peace with you. And immediately after that, he starts talking about the justice of God and God will take his vengeance. As a reminder, it's not your job, it's his. Your job is seek peace. If it's not accomplished, leave it to the Lord. True righteousness or true wisdom is characterized by righteousness and peace. So, what do you think? You guys wise? No one's willing to say yes, right? Because you just lied against the truth. But it's really, this passage is intended for us to look at who we are. What is our character? And the way to analyze that is look at those you're in relationship around you and what you seek to do when no one's looking. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. Lord, we will have more than enough opportunities throughout every day to put this into practice. And so, Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not mere hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.